The New York Post is calling my team the best Big Brother podcasting team of all time. Entertainment Weekly is likening my epic first show to watching Paul Newman in The Sting or George Clooney in Ocean's 11. Well, the raves are in and the fallout is about to begin. Welcome to So You Think You Can Podcast, the knockout round. Tonight, I am joined by a woman who's actually her great, great, great uncle is none other than Albert Einstein. It's Melissa Denny. Melissa,
it's actually true.
I hope you realize that, like, ever since I discovered this about you, like, my expectations are just, like, way higher.
Oh, good. That makes me feel very confident.
What's the Big Brother secret formula? What are you going to tell us?
You never know. I gotta keep my
equals BBOT squared.
That's exactly what it is. You got
and
it.
And you heard him. We are also joined by a man who once placed last in a marathon, John Kraus.
Hello, John, true.
Placing last in a marathon seems almost more impressive than any other placement to me.
Well, you know, sometimes you are really bad at something, but you try anyway, and listen, I think that if anything, that speaks to Chrissy probably doing a really good job here because she's really bad at everything and she's going to win this whole thing. So hey, I'm proud.
You should be. And hopefully that.
How does that even happen?
How does what happen?
How do you end up behind everybody?
I was very slow. Listen, I thought that I didn't think everyone else was going to train as hard as they did.
Really? You didn't think they trained for a marathon?
Well prepared.
Listen, the story here is that I actually completed a marathon. You guys are taking the wrong lesson. I have completed a marathon.
That should have been the fact. That should have been the fact that you shared.
Well, Taryn's a bully.
Hey, you know, it's a story of perseverance. He was last and he didn't give up. He was no Chrissy, right?
In typical millennial fashion, though, I did get a placement medal, a finishing medal.
Of course you did.
I'm afraid you will not be receiving a participation medal for this competition if you are eliminated. I believe we kill off our losers, so that will be.
Yeah, I haven't heard from what's his name and what's her name in a while. So.
Yes, we are sadly without Jen this time. Yeah. She does forever remain in our hearts. It's a shame to have lost someone. She was so young. She was so short. And just rest in peace, Jen. We love you.
Yeah. She actually made like a Jedi-like appearance the other day. She appeared and said to me, you know, so she gave me some advice because she's the one, she really wants me to win this thing. So it's kind of like my Jedi master.
Does she now? I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, she told me to go to Dagobah and like figure it out from there.
Who are you supposed to meet at Dagobah?
Julie Chen, oddly enough. That's where she hangs out when she's not hosting the exit interviews.
The correct answer was Bridget. The Yoda. Yes.
I forget about Bridget sometimes. Sorry, not sorry.
All right. I want to know from you guys, because this is like a weird experience, I imagine. Like people are watching this. It's a contest for a podcast. What has been going through your heads? Like, Melissa, what was it like for you on Friday, waiting for the results to come in of for who is going to be eliminated?
It was terrifying, totally terrifying. I was so nervous and I was listening to it. And right as Rob is about to reveal the results, my coworker comes in and starts having a conversation with me. And I was just like, oh my God, please go out. And I was like trying to like listen to it, but at the same time trying to be like, oh, hey, what's going on? But luckily he got out just in the nick of time, right as I heard the results. And I was very, very excited. So it was great hearing that, but also sad because we missed Jen. But
so there was very nearly a moment where your coworker saw the moment that you died inside.
Yes, luckily. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I tried to shoo him out the door before the results were heard. I did not want him seeing the look on my face.
Got to put a sign on your door that says, like, very important meeting in place.
Yeah.
Very important podcasting.
There are documents.
John, is this what you expected when you signed up to be an LFC member?
You know, it's funny. It has been a lot more stressful than I thought it would be. It's, you know, it's like weird. On the one hand, it's just a, you know, a podcast, and it's just, you know, whatever. But then on the other hand, I'm totally invested. And I was also very stressed out, kind of waiting. And then I got confused because my name sounds a lot like Jen's name, and I wasn't sure who, which one of us was eliminated or not. But I will say, and I kind of fangirled out a little bit, like hearing Rob say my name.
Me too.
It was kind of a big deal.
I couldn't believe it. I was thinking it was some other Melissa or something. And then I had to like remind myself that it was me. So weird.
Yeah, it was definitely when I started hearing Rob talk about me, very weird. And then, you know, there are people talking about you guys on Reddit, on YouTube.
Yeah, it's like, so crazy. Right,
yeah, you're out there. Yeah. I just need to start a poll, and then people will really start getting controversial.
Hey, now, don't you go.
The polls are where it's at.
Yeah, the poll is my game here. You're not taking the polls from me. Also, I don't know if anybody has noticed yet who's watching the video version, but I have slightly altered my lower thirds. It's the lower thirds I was planning on giving both members of my team, but unfortunately, the toolbox in Google Hangouts, it has not been working properly. So
I made my own.
Yes, John made his own.
just keep that there for the duration of the event.
Yeah, you need an assistant, clearly.
Yes, Jeeves?
that is enough about you guys. We're not here to talk about you, not this time. Uh-huh. We're here to talk about Big Brother Over the Top. And
oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah and I think that we should go back to where we left off last night. I was with Johnny Mack and Alex Kidwell. We threw a party when Jordan was out of town, and it was pretty fun.
Johnny Mack's
Jordan Parr.
I mean, it was kind of a small party with only three guys, but you know, whatever.
Yeah, with no one in the same room, actually.
That's kind of what's happening right now.
Start picking things apart. All right. So after that podcast, we did have the final safety ceremony where Shelby made Morgan safe. What was the fallout from this final safety ceremony, John?
Well, we finally saw something that I personally was questioning that, you know, what would ever happen is that the alliance is starting to turn on itself. We have Justin starting to work with Shelby and Morgan. He wants to maybe get rid of Danielle. We have Danielle complaining about Justin, whether he's, you know, cooking for her or not. You know, we have Grillgate 2016. And we've got a lot of drama coming from the fact that this alliance has to face the fact that its days are numbered.
Yeah, let's talk about Grillgate, actually, because this was a fun fight, right? Melissa, what's going on with Grillgate?
Well, basically, according to Danny and Jason, they've been asking Justin to grill for them this entire summer. And he always says, I don't want to smell like the grill. I don't want to smell like smoke, or making up some excuse for why he can't grill for them. And so Shelby and Morgan wanted to grill. And they made a whole plan on what they wanted to grill and all that. And Justin agreed to grill for them. And that was apparently not cool. Danny and Jason were very upset and kind of passive aggressively told him, wow, it's funny how maybe I need to be HOH in order to get something grilled for me around here. So very dramatic. And of course, you know, the girls were like, there's enough food for everyone. We can all eat, you know, and Justin tried to play it off as nothing, but it was a big deal. It was very dramatic.
Yes, we even had Jason go up to Justin and say something about it. And that obviously was like, Justin was like, what? Come on. And yeah, I mean, really, they're getting upset about a grill. I feel like this season, things are just, I mean, it's probably like every season, actually, but you know. Chill it down a little bit.
Well, you reach a certain, you know, you reach a point. Like, they've been in there for months now, and they have fewer people to talk about. The end is in sight. You know, I mean, think about the last time you spent any extended amount of time with anybody. Like, when you get to that end game there, when you've been with somebody, like if you ever take a long road trip, like you start to nitpick. You start to be annoyed at the level that they like the radio at, or you start to be annoyed how far down they have the window turned. You know what I mean? It's only a matter of time. And this year it's the grill, but you know, next year it'll be something else.
Yeah.
Plus, if you're already thinking that somebody is like turning on you, like Danny already was thinking that Justin was, you know, moving to the other side, you start to notice things a lot more. And so obviously it's a bigger deal if Justin's cooking for Morgan and Shelby, whereas at the beginning, maybe it wouldn't have even mattered, you know? So.
Well, it's like a metaphor. It's a metaphor. Who are you cooking for is like, who are you working with? You know what I mean? So it's silly to be like, oh, the grill gate. It's silly, but it's an indication. You know, if you're cooking for the other team, then what else are you doing for them?
Well, yeah, considering the fact that, oh, sorry, Taryn. But considering the fact that before Justin would make a big deal about not cooking for them.
Yeah.
Like he would always be like, oh, well, I'm not going to make them pancakes. Like, you know, they can make their own and I'm only going to make it for my friends. And now all of a sudden he started cooking for other people.
Right. I mean, this is a season where the Ball Smashers knew Whitney turned on them because Whitney was talking about having a celebratory dinner. Like,
wow,
this
lots of
food
dinner
has
things.
Really been a big indicator of where the alliances lie this season.
Yeah, I'm definitely understanding where you're coming from as far as like you spend some amount of time with people, you start to get, you know, start to get annoyed with them. I'm feeling that way about you guys a little bit, actually, because I've been podcasting with you for like over 15 minutes at this point. It's got to be. It feels like over 15 minutes, right? Like,
I just want to say, Taryn, the way you have your microphone hanging there, it's really, it kind of blocks part of your face. It's really annoying, Taryn.
Yeah, well, you know, the microphone that you have right there sitting in the corner, just like pointing up at you, it's just like, it's ridiculous. It's got to point down. Microphones always should be pointing down here.
Can't even see Melissa's microphone.
This is exactly why I don't have a microphone. So you guys can't nitpick.
Oh, man.
You know, we were friends once.
We were friends 15 minutes ago, guys.
What happened to us, guys? What has this podcast done to us?
We're falling apart. We're turning
Jen was the
on
linchpin.
Each other.
Yes. Jen held us all together. All right. So speaking of Justin, we are seeing quite a downfall in Justin's popularity here, right? Like a lot of people should have been voting for Chrissy to go up to help Justin. They should want Danielle out. But I've seen a lot of people really just pile on to Justin saying, Justin hasn't done anything this entire game. He's going after Danielle now, and that pisses me off. And I hate Justin. I'm going to vote for anyone over Justin, even Chrissy, people are saying. What do you think of this, Melissa?
I think that his popularity is waning with a certain group of people. I think that if you're a fan of the Misfits, then you're definitely not a fan of Justin right now. And I think that if you're a fan of the Ball Smashers, then you are a fan of Justin right now. So I think that while maybe Twitter's sentiment is very skewed towards the LNJ, I think that Reddit has kind of gone onto his side more. So it kind of varies, but definitely like overall sentiment, he's kind of gone down.
Yeah, it's surprising too, because I feel like Justin was like heads above like anybody else for popularity for like most of the season. We were all saying like, you know, maybe Jason can overtake him, but for the most part, like, you know, pencil it in. Justin's getting that final care package. Justin's going to win the game if he makes it there. Like, and I don't like when people make generalizations like this, but I definitely saw a lot of people talking about like, man, Justin has that great social game. Man, look at Justin, like bringing Whitney over Whitney over to the fold. Man, he's really playing a good game. But then as soon as he turns on Danny, it's like, oh, what? He hasn't done anything all season.
Yeah. Like he has no social game. What is he doing? Why would he do this? Like it really depends who he's helping. And
well,
that's
where
people.
Yeah, there's a little bit of that going on where there's, you know, I think that there are fans of Danielle who obviously she's their number one. And so they're angry at Justin, and there are fans of Jason and things like that. But like what you just said, Taryn, like why did people love Justin? Why was Justin number one? Like, so for so long in everyone's eyes, he was very, very entertaining. And from the gameplay perspective, the only real card he had in his deck was the social game. And, you know, he's still doing his little dances or whatever. But we saw this last season and the season before that with James, like pranks got old. I mean, like his antics, I think maybe are just starting to get a little old. I mean, there's still the same thing. Like he keeps pulling out the dances and the songs and they're fun. But at what point is that enough? And then from the social aspect of it, you know, his social game has been slipping a little bit lately. You know, it's not just that he's turning, it's that he's saying that he doesn't like these people anymore. He's been bickering with Danielle and with Jason. And, there was a clip of him where he went out in the backyard by himself and was just like shouting to, I guess, us, and just saying like, I hate all these people. I can't stand all these people. And so, you know, I think that, I still like him, but I think even just as me, who's not necessarily a super fan of Danielle, I think that I've liked Justin a little bit less now. He's been kind of slipping in my eyes too.
I think one of the main reasons that everybody liked him and he was liked across the board was because he kind of could go from group to group, and he never really had any, like you said, any fights with anybody. Yeah. And he just was like all about, like, you know, positive vibes and all that.
It's always c'est la vie, baby.
Yeah, exactly. And he'd hang out with, you know, Whitney, but he'd also be like nice with Shelby and Morgan and everything. And so there was always like the chance that, like, we don't know where his true allegiance lies. And so I always thought that was entertaining. And then now it's kind of like, he's getting, like you said, it's slipping a little. He's getting into fights with people. He's kind of, you know, being, I don't know, like, he's being nonchalant a lot of the time when maybe he should be more chalant, if that makes sense.
And I'm not someone who thinks that you have to be, you know, playing the game 110% all the time. But when you're not playing the game at all, and then those other aspects start to slip, like, you have nothing to fall back on. Like, as a fan who's watching him, if I'm not getting entertainment out of him, what am I getting out of him?
Yeah.
You know, it's something that I think happens a lot with these players, that they have like a certain gimmick. And I think, you know, James is a great example. You know, they have something that makes them exciting and popular, especially if they're also an underdog. After a while, just like if you were in the house with them yourself, you start to get annoyed with whatever their gimmick is. And you're like, you know what? I don't even care about the pizza song anymore. And I mean, to me, that's blasphemy. But like,
if we still have ringtones, if people still use ringtones, that would be my ringtone.
People don't use ringtones anymore?
I mean, I don't know. Doesn't everyone just have their phone on vibrate all the time?
Ringtones are still a thing, but...
Oh,
are you saying that people are going to be weirded out by my pizza ringtone?
No.
I guess not. I think I'm in the minority here.
No.
Oh, man.
No. Don't change anything. Don't change just because John is judging you.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa. Coalition. I see how it's going.
Melissa knows what's up. She knows I'm not weird. Or she's setting me up to fail.
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, you don't know what we were talking about before you showed up, Taryn. Like, this is all part of our plan to backdoor you.
Way to reveal that you guys got here before me. So something I want to talk about is the polling, right? Polling is a big topic in today's
for
world.
You. And, oh yeah.
And you know, we saw this week on the Joker's poll, it was Chrissy was way ahead of Morgan. On the BB Network poll, she's way ahead. On the BB Daily poll, she's way ahead. And on my poll, which is obviously the best poll, it's the most accurate poll. It was really close. The first one was like 47-48%, and the second one was like 49-48%.
Yeah, I saw that today. It was really close.
Yeah, it was insane, and it's very strange because I think we're really starting to see a disconnect between, you know, the Joker's fans, the Reddit fans, and all of them, and then like the Twitter people and the people who don't necessarily vote in polls and who aren't particularly active. And it seems like the political landscape for Big Brother is almost becoming the political landscape of the United States.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but so... you know, like, what do you guys think? Like, what were you thinking, John? Who did you think was going to go up on the block?
I mean, who did I want to go on the block? Chrissy. You know, the data showed Chrissy. But I've learned this season that Chrissy doesn't get nominated for whatever reason. Not since, you know, really early on in the show. She's never been America's mom. So I'm not too surprised, really. I have two theories, and you guys can hear me out and tell me what you think, but here are I have two thoughts about maybe why this is. Number one, and this, let's not get into real politics too much, but this is something that people have been talking about in the real world too, is like the idea of people who aren't talking or people who aren't answering polls and things like that. I know Rob very recently on the podcast was joking about like, what are the Chrissy fans going to do? And everyone laughed about it. But I mean, there could very well be like a contingent of Chrissy fans who
are shaming them into silence,
you know, and I don't know why they aren't answering the anonymous polls necessarily. But clearly there's lots of vitriol on Twitter and on Reddit and things. If anyone were to say like, oh, I love Chrissy, I think that they'd be, you know, downvoted to oblivion. So there's a possibility that there's a contingency of people who like Chrissy. I can't imagine who, but there are people there. Possibly. And then my other theory is maybe because Shelby won, and then because Justin is kind of turncoating, there might be people who want to save, you know, Danielle. Maybe they think that if Morgan is up, that Danielle might be safe.
Go ahead.
Okay. So what this says is that we need to open our arms to the Chrissy supporters and say, you know, you are welcome. You can voice your opinion. We're not going to judge you. And then when they finally do come out and tell us that they are in fact Chrissy supporters, then we can ridicule them into oblivion.
I would love to talk to a Chrissy supporter because I just want to know what they think about it. I've not heard that opinion before.
Well, there are a lot of bitter Chrissy supporters, I think. But yes, go ahead, Melissa.
I noticed on Reddit that somebody said, before the results were announced, they were like, there is no possible way that the only accurate poll is Taryn's poll. They were like, all the other polls say Chrissy, so there's no possible way that Taryn's poll is correct. And then, of course, Chrissy does not get nominated. And then somebody else is like, oh my God, Chrissy's going to be our next president. And it's like, yeah, maybe.
Yeah,
anymore.
I have seen claims that that my poll is not an accurate poll, but it is in fact a magical poll that makes these results happen. What do you say to that, Melissa?
I say that really seems to be the only logical explanation at this point is magic.
Okay, maybe there's something wrong with the CBS servers and they're not actually getting any votes. So when you go vote on CBS, none of those votes are going in. And so there's some poor intern who works at CBS and they're like, what are we going to do? We don't want to pause Big Brother over the top. We know they've been having technical difficulties. So maybe that person's just like, well, we'll check Taryn's poll.
Whatever Taryn's poll says.
That's going to give a lot of credence to the people that are like, oh, Taryn, you're being paid by CBS.
Like
you're
not allowed Taryn to have an opinion.
rigged.
Yes, lots of riggage. there are still people who are finding that satire tweet I made about like finding out that Amanda Zuckerman is controlling the season, and they're saying like, come on, tell us, give us the emails.
Oh my God.
Please, that's I can't amazing. Say it's a joke this many times. All right, so Morgan does end up nominated. How does the house react to Morgan's nomination?
John?
Well, certainly the girls are kind of like, there's like, how many times can we give the Ball Smashers some power, immediately take it away again? You know, as America, I say we, as the royal we, you know what I mean? Like Morgan literally just got the care package and now she's up on the block. It's like whiplash. She's got BB whiplash. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They've got to be thinking that America's crazy at this point.
And then once again, you have like Chrissy is now really positive that she's the favorite person in America because she's never been nominated now. You know what I mean? So there's certainly
she, like, barely got half not.
There's a beautiful little bit of like irony that comes from watching the show and knowing how most people feel about certain players. And then like the fact that they have no idea in the house or they have opposite ideas in the house is kind of fun.
Well, we have discovered that Chrissy is the fan favorite, actually. So, you know, she just has the silent majority.
Right.
Yes, of course. I mean, I do think that Morgan going up as the nominee might not be the worst thing, because I think that if Chrissy was put on the block, she might have gotten nervous that she was making the wrong choice and that America was trying to send her like a signal that she was should not go against Danny and Jason. I mean, knowing Chrissy, that is exactly what she would be thinking is like, oh my God, America doesn't want me to turn. Like, I need to go back to them. And also, like, a bunch of them said, Jason and Chrissy and Justin all said that if Morgan was America's nominee, then they would know that America doesn't like Morgan and that they would have more reason to take Morgan to the finals. So yeah. I think that, like, and overall, like, I mean, they already said that if Danielle doesn't win veto, then they are going to get Danielle out anyway. I mean, who knows if that's true, but that's what they were saying. And so I think that, like, in the grand scheme of things, as upsetting as it is to not see Chrissy up on the block, like, you know, fretting and going crazy, it could be a good thing in the end.
That was definitely my reaction, was like, when I first saw it, I was just like, how could this happen? And I was really upset for a minute, but then I was like, actually, this is not so bad. And it's almost ideal. It's almost perfect, because now, you know, and we can talk about the veto in a second because they finished the ceremony, but you know, now, yeah, exactly. They all think Morgan is like a dead fish, basically. And Shelby doesn't have to worry about burning any bridges one way or the other. And now that new foursome, the Jambalaya Brigade or whatever, can like go forward now. They don't, because Justin and Chrissy don't have to worry that like they're getting screwed over.
Yes, so you did bring up the veto competition. It just ended. It was another one of these, you know, individually timed competitions. Like they keep doing these.
Lots of footage of people just sleeping on beds in the feeds.
So long. Yeah.
I love when the feeds cut away from the competition to show Chrissy maybe dead.
Yes. And like Jason is the only one that like narrates for us, right? Like everybody else is
I
just
love
like
that about
totally
him. You know, yeah. I've had a lot of ups and downs with him, but I love when Jason is just like the other week with the scary face morphs, and he was just like, these people are scary as hell. Like that's so it makes it so much more fun to watch.
Yeah, and not just a lot of heavy breathing.
Yeah. There was lots of heavy breathing today.
I mean, it's very, very weird to watch at work.
Well, let's just be glad that Scott is no longer competing in them, I guess.
Oh my God. Did you hear the mashup of him and Chrissy?
Oh yeah, I did. Yeah. I was at Podcast Oof. House in New York, and I just started playing it without saying anything late at night.
Not safe for podcast.
That was Colin Stone
was like, Taryn, what are you doing right now?
Please don't tell me what you're doing.
Whoever made that mashup, shame on them for putting thoughts into my head that I didn't ask for. about oh, Chrissy and Scott.
Yes. Yeah. So Melissa, can you set up what this veto competition was?
Basically, it was dominoes, and you had to get the dominoes to go through three different bridges
gates.
Or I guess underneath three gates, and each of the gates had a question on it, and there was two answers, and so you had to put it through the right answer, and if you put it through the wrong answer, then you got a 3-minute penalty added to your time for each wrong answer at the end. So you had to get it through each of the gates and then hit the end, or from the start to the finish, and then let the dominoes fall, and they all had to fall in one fell swoop.
Yes.
So
and these questions were difficult, actually, or at least
very
they seemed
difficult.
Because yeah, like one of them was who is in the house longer, Jeff or Paul, and that one was I thought that one was pretty easy because that golf competition went forever.
Yeah.
And then it was which competition lasted longer, the balance one or the veto vault one. And the veto vault one was correct. And then the most difficult one was which competition had the most amount of attempts made at like completing it, which was either the golf competition or the perfect shot one that Paul had hosted. John, did you have any idea what this answer was when you saw it?
I thought I did, but I was wrong. If I had been playing this competition, I would have done worse than any of them, I think. I definitely had a hard time thinking. I was positive that Paul had been in the house longer, and that one, you know, you just said it was the easiest one. So what the heck do I know? So no, I had no idea. And it was actually kind of fun as a viewer because we didn't know the answers ahead of time. You know, if this had been the normal CBS show, there would have been some sort of telegraph that would tell us, you know, there would be like a buzz noise if they got the wrong one. And so it was kind of fun to play along and like rack my brain and show off just how little I know about this season. I thought it was fun to kind of play along. And they
were hard. I immediately made some like educated guesses, and then I went back and I literally counted everything to make sure that I was right.
You were attracting some ire.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I said like this is what I think the answers are, and people were like, "No, you're biased. These are not the right answers."
Yeah, okay. No.
And then
those ones are hard.
My favorite part about it was that somebody else tweeted that they thought the answers were the same. And that same person was like, thank you for actually giving us the real answers. And then they responded saying, well, actually, I took them from Taryn.
Oh, my God. That is so crazy.
Yeah.
Those are tough, though, if you can't go back and watch that stuff. I mean, like, if you're in the house, you're not thinking to yourself, like, okay, count how many, like, attempted shots just happened. Like, that is not something that would even cross my mind at the time. So I think that, like, for someone in the house, like, and even a viewer, like, I had no idea who was winning. Like, you know, you could see the time that they took to complete it, but you had no idea if they were going to have 9 minutes added to their time at the end.
Yeah. And I thought I knew the answer beforehand, but it was actually a lot closer than I thought it was. It was something like 88 or 90 attempts at the perfect shot veto or HOH. And it was something like 82 or 83 attempts at the golf competition. So it was really close margin.
Yeah. So even in their memory, they wouldn't remember necessarily one having way more than another one.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then
and I thought it was,
oh. Go ahead.
I just thought it was really funny that Jason even said like, wow, you guys decided to pick the exact questions that we have not been studying.
Right.
Because it's true, because they've never even talked about these things.
Sometimes I wonder, I'm not a conspiracy theorist in terms of like rigging competitions or picking a balancing one to benefit somebody. But sometimes I wonder like the questions like that, like how far ahead do they pick those questions? You know what I mean? Like how far ahead do they print out like the actual text? Like, you know, surely someone's watching and they're like, oh, they're studying this every day. Let's not ask those questions.
Yeah.
Something like that happening.
You know, recommendations to future house guests. Study quietly, silently.
Study in your head.
Yeah. Right. Don't let them know what you know. And also communicate strategies for like elimination comp silently so that they can't be like, oh, we're not going to do that one where everyone gets to like the stay or fold or whatever.
Yeah. I think you need to be silent like the whole time.
Yeah.
Just the whole game.
Just whole never game. Speak. Be neither
It'll
seen
be really
nor heard. Listen, if production forgets you're in the house, then no one can vote you out.
This is just a slight tangent, but there's a really cool movie called Circle that's like has a similar concept to like Big Brother or Survivor, and there's a person in that movie that doesn't speak, and you know, does pretty well. So there you go.
Well, there you go. New strategy.
So yes, we play this competition, and the winner has been announced. Who is the
Drum
winner,
roll.
Melissa?
The winner is Shelby.
Woo! Shelby.
Woo!
Pulls out another win. She's really going to be looking like a threat now.
Like, yeah, it's not good for her. But.
Oh, yeah. And they are going to be gunning for her so hard next week. What do you think, John? What do you think about this win?
Oh, I mean, yeah, exactly, right? Like, not only did she win, she got a significantly better time than everybody. And she's the her and Danielle were the only ones who didn't make any mistakes. So she creamed everybody in every possible way that, you know, they could do this. And she won out HOH. I think you were the one on our last podcast last week who said that, like, you really kind of paint a target on yourself when you win the HOH and the veto in the same week. And kind of like Melissa was saying a little bit ago, like, yeah, it sucks that Morgan was nominated, but, you know, like, in a way, I still think that they would have gotten Danny out either way. You know what I mean? So I don't know that she needed this win.
I think you said that Danny didn't get any questions wrong. I think she got one wrong.
Which she did?
She said Paul was in the house longer, I think.
Yeah,
that was my mistake.
Okay,
And she also had a crazy like line to the finish that they had to like tell her was wrong.
Yeah,
so she could
fish it so that way they could be like, yeah, this is never going to work.
Yeah, I felt bad for Danielle there. She also, when she knocked the dominoes over, it failed like three times.
You know, it feels like this happens a lot. Like when it's time for you to go in the Big Brother house, you fall hard, you know?
You don't just fall gracefully.
It's just a right down to the bottom.
I'll say this for Danielle is that I am not like her biggest fan, but I don't dislike her. And I like that she finished it. I feel like if Chrissy, I'm really hammering on Chrissy tonight, but like if Chrissy had if the dominoes had failed to fall for her three times, I think she would have just quit. Like Danny knew she was going to lose and knew she, you know, she kept saying like, I guess I'm going home this week, but she still finished the challenge. And I commend her for that.
Yeah.
Speaking of about this, what do you think, Melissa, do you think that Danielle is gone at this point? Does she have any chance of staying in the house this week?
I think that if she can somehow convince, oh God, it's so hard because since Shelby doesn't have a vote, I was going to say like one thing she could do is maybe convince like Morgan and Shelby to go with her instead. But I just, that one doesn't really seem to be plausible. I guess the only thing is maybe throw Jason under the bus to Justin and Chrissy somehow. And cause I have a feeling that, well, I mean, it's hard to say cause I was feeling that Twitter would not vote her out like for the America's vote. I have a feeling if it's her and Jason on the block, they're not going to vote Danielle out.
That would be very interesting.
But at the same time, it's like, you don't know because they like Jason too. And so I have no idea where America's vote will go if Shelby takes Morgan off the block, which she probably will. And so I think that Danielle
Jason definitely has.
Oh, go ahead.
Jason definitely has the bigger, like, built-in audience fan base, but Danny, I would say, is definitely the number one in terms of, like, vocal Twitter support, people voting for her, like, the number one newbie, so.
Yeah, vocal support is definitely there.
Gonna need a new poll.
Yeah.
I'm really curious to know, because this is basically a matchup, like, it's a head-to-head. Who has the most fans? Is it Danielle or is it Jason? We never really knew, and we won't ever know until this poll comes out, and we'll finally get to see, like, who really does have the most support. Has it been Jason's fans who have been carrying Danielle, or is it Danielle's fans who have been carrying Jason, or are they deadlocked? You know, we're gonna find out. And that's,
it's gonna be a very exciting America's Vote if indeed it is just Jason and Danielle on the block at the end of the week. That's going to be very exciting.
Oh, yeah.
I do think that there's a small chance in terms of what is physically capably possible that if Danielle really threw Jason under the bus, really played up the fact that he's a former player, played up the fact that he's guaranteed the win at the end. I think if she tries to mend fences with Justin, I think that there is a chance there. But I don't think that I have a feeling that she's not going to try for it. Like, she's been that person all season. Like, she gave her final HOH speech during the double. And she said, you know, I wanted to play this game and stay true to my friends this whole time. And like, I don't think that she's going to want to throw Jason under the bus. So I think she could. I think there's a chance she could force her way to stay. But I don't see her putting that work in.
Yeah. I feel like she wouldn't throw Jason under the bus. I mean, from what we've seen so far, it doesn't look like she'd be willing to throw him under the bus, which she should, because that would be
great to see.
So another thing that we saw this past week was, you know, we saw the degradation of Justin's relationship with Danielle, but we also saw it deteriorate with Jason as well. He's talked about how he no longer trusts Jason. He's telling Chrissy this, and obviously Chrissy is telling Jason, Justin shouldn't be talking to Chrissy. But yeah, so what do you guys think? Like, going into next week, do you think that Justin, does he stick with Jason, or does he go after Shelby? What do you think, John?
I think it depends on who wins HOH. You know what I mean? Shelby can't win HOH. Let's assume for this conversation that Danielle does go home. You know, Justin has said that he has thrown every single competition this season so far. So if he throws that one and he doesn't win, you know, if Jason or Chrissy wins HOH next week, I could see him like sidling back up to them and being like, hey, baby, was it what it is? But, you know, I think if Morgan wins, then I think that he'll probably stick with them.
Justin's been going back and forth basically the whole time. Like, ever since they made the Jambalaya gang, he's never fully stuck with them. He'll tell them that he's with them, and he'll tell Chrissy he's with them. He'll tell the cameras he's with them. But then, like, 5 minutes later, Jason will talk to him, and he'll be like, oh, man, like, I need to tell you, like, we were talking about getting rid of, you know, Danny. And just, like, reveal everything and then be like, okay, we're back. And then he goes back to them. So, you know, you never really know. Although he did get that fortune cookie. Said that he needs to, you know, keep with whatever deal was just offered to him or accept the next big proposal. And so he was like, I got to stick with them. So we'll see.
As a strategy fan, one of the biggest disappointments in terms of Justin, who I do like a lot, is that like he's in such a good position there where if he wanted to play a traditional floater game, like a conscious, like an Andy type floater game, he'd be in such a great position right now. Because when he goes back and forth, like, no one has a problem with it because he's been doing it all season. And because he doesn't do strategy, like, no one is suspecting him. You know what I mean? Like, he's in such a good position if he actually wanted to play both sides or if he wanted to start actually making those moves. But he's still really just kind of being Justin.
Has there ever been a player that has been more overtly influenced by completely random factors as Justin after the witch hat and the fortune cookie? Like, he just flies by the seat of his pants, by the seat of his fortune cookies. Can you think of anybody, Melissa, who's just been so overtly like this?
That's tough. I mean, I don't know. He just like will pick something so random. But he'll be so strong in his conviction that it's so important that like the witch hat was like a sign and that, he, you know, she's evil or whatever. Like, we need to get her out. And still to this day, he's like, no, it was the witch hat, guys. No, I told you the witch hat. It's like, it's still there. The witch hat.
It still bothers him.
Taryn, need I remind you about a specific player who saw a butterfly and it told him everything he needed to know at the moment?
Oh, God.
It told him to start crying? That was
that was just an excuse to do a bad impression. I think that Justin is probably, I mean, he even says he's the most superstitious person that they've ever had in the house, which has been fun to watch.
Yeah. So here's an interesting scenario.
Scenario. There it is. Hashtag scenario. Yeah.
So just if Danielle does go home next week, Justin is going to be the only person who is available for the care package to go to. However, if Justin wins HOH, I think we can assume that the care package cannot go to him, right? Because
yeah,
what's the point of him being safe for a week if he's already safe for a week? Right. And so we have to assume at that point that it opens up to everyone, right?
Yeah.
So if this happens, if Justin wins HOH next week, who do we think the care package goes to? And what does that do to the game, Melissa?
Oh my God, that's really tough. I mean, seeing how everything's been going lately, maybe we'll get a Chrissy care package. maybe she gets that ride to the Final Four. There you go. She takes that. Wow. It could happen in a crazy world that we live in.
Chrissy, the only person
care package
on the season to get two care packages. She gets the most important one.
She gets no nominations. She gets like barely any have-nots and then two care packages. I could see it. Those Chrissy fans, they come out of the woodwork.
Those silent Chrissy fans. My vote would be on Jason if it's open to everybody again. I think that's the most likely. But yeah, Melissa, I agree. Like, who knows? Everything up is down. Cats and dogs are sleeping together. You know, like Chrissy could easily become America's most powerful player.
Yeah. I do. I think basically what happens is Jason gets the care package and then there's literally like nothing that the girls can do, right? Like even if one of them was HOH, I guess we could potentially see a scenario where maybe Morgan is Morgan wins the veto and Shelby's on the block. No, because Justin would probably put both of them up. But like theoretically, if Justin put up, Morgan and Chrissy, and then Shelby won the veto and wanted to take down Morgan, would that just automatically evict Chrissy? Like what would happen?
Yeah,
Okay, this is just a random guess here, but America is still having a vote out, right? Yeah, well, okay, that doesn't matter. We're talking about noms. I think that, it would kind of be like the final three, right? Like whoever wins the veto would just get the deciding vote in that instance. It's very complicated. You're right, because,
yeah.
I mean, but what are the odds of Justin winning HOH at that point?
Right. Yeah, well, it does. It makes me think that maybe Justin will still be eligible even if he wins HOH, and it'll just be kind of a waste.
Maybe they have planned
for this outcome and they have something special in the rare instance that it would happen.
Maybe in this outcome, if Justin wins it but is ineligible to accept it, he could give it to somebody else.
Oh, that's possible.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think the crazy thing would be who would he nominate even if he was HOH? I feel like I have no idea where his mind will be at that point. Because it could go either way.
I don't think he's going to want to win it. He has not wanted to win any of them yet. And if he's really truly in the jambalaya junction, then he's not going to want to be in a position to nominate his allies.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. And especially because he knows he's going to get the care package if Danielle is gone. So he'd probably just be like, well, I don't need to win this, whatever.
Yeah. And they don't know what it is, but they do know it's going to be more powerful than, you know, free veto and co-HOH. So,
yeah,
I could. This is such an easy excuse for Justin to keep being Justin. You know, it's such an easy excuse for him to just be like, okay, I'm not going to need to try. I have to get the care package.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with all this happening, I know the last time we talked about this, I think most of us said we thought that Danielle probably had a good shot to win, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So with Danielle potentially probably going home this week, who do you guys think has the best shot to win the game now? John, you go first.
I still think Jason. That's what I am pretty sure that I said last time.
Okay.
My vote was Jason. And then I would say behind Jason at this point, probably Shelby and maybe Dark Horse Chrissy. At this point, who knows? I really
Chrissy's
can't
always
see.
Gotta be up there.
Yeah. I mean, I would say at this point, it doesn't seem like Justin is going to win. He seems to be waning in the popularity. And then I'm not sure if Morgan is going to pull it out either. So I would say if we're eliminating Danielle, my rank would be Jason, then Shelby, then maybe Justin, and then Chrissy, and then Morgan.
Okay. How about you, Melissa?
I mean, I say very similarly. I think that Jason has a really good chance, especially because, I mean, if he has his way, he's going to take, you know, he's going to take people he knows he can beat, even though this whole time he's been saying that he won't do that. I think he has a really good chance. And I think that like tides are kind of turning and shifting. And I think that they're going away from the ball smashers and going away from Justin and going towards Jason and also apparently Chrissy. So Chrissy could pull it out. Who knows? But I think that if Jason's in the finals, I think that people might like rally and be like, you know what? He's been playing hard this whole time. Like, we got to give it to him.
Yeah, I think this week was huge for Jason. If Danielle does go, because I think that he really wanted to take Danielle to the end potentially, or at least very far, where she would have a chance to sneak in there with him. And I don't think he realized what a big threat she was to his end game, to winning the game. And this has put him in a position where his biggest threat is being taken out for him. And it's a very, you know, it's a great thing for Jason. And I really think that he probably has the best shot to win now, especially because next week is definitely not looking great for Shelby or Morgan, because you have to imagine that unless Morgan wins at HOH, one of them is definitely gone.
I think that Jason, when he was seeing where like the cards were laying this week, I think that first he tried to save Danielle and himself and make a deal with the girls. But then when he realized that that wasn't happening and it was clear that, like, you know, the girls were trying to get out either him or Danielle, he made sure that it was going to be Danielle and not himself. And he was like ready and willing to throw Danny under the bus, like strategically. And she was not so much willing to do that and didn't really offer the girls or Justin or Chrissy or anyone any reason to keep her over Jason. And her one move was to try and give the stuffed animal of her son to the girls. And that just, you know, didn't work at all. So I think that Jason really stepped up this week in terms of keeping himself safe over Danielle.
I don't want to beat a dead horse too much here, but I saw a thread on Reddit today, on the Big Brother Reddit, that said, is the fake final five move one of the worst moves of all time? And I think that assuming Danielle goes home this week, I mean, she shot herself in the foot pretty badly there, considering that she destroyed any semblance of credibility that she had with those girls. And she didn't need to do it. It was just for a bit of fun. And even if Jason was going to go do it anyway, she didn't need to like do it with him. So what are your guys' thoughts on that? Do you think that it would rank as one of the worst moves of all time just because it was completely pointless and it seems that it actively contributed to Danielle going home? Because let's say she doesn't do that, maybe the ball smashers are more at, like, they want to work with her maybe instead of Justin.
But I think that it was definitely a bad move on her part, because I think the girls were actually wanting to work with her and Jason.
Yeah.
And they were totally ready and willing to jump on board, and they just did it for a laugh. And I think that that's not strategic at all. I mean, I don't know if it's like one of the worst moves of all time, because maybe Jason ends up winning the season, who knows? And then it's like, well, it didn't actually hurt him. He was fine. But like Ken's West, I mean, you've got Marcellus in the veto like back then. I mean, that is like, there's some other like horrible moves.
I think we could rank this in terms of Danielle's game. I think this could certainly rank up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the key point is just how unnecessary it was. And I guess like the defense against that is, you know, if he's trying to play it up to the cameras, he's trying to get some fan support behind him. I think that's miscalculated in a lot of different ways, because I don't think that he got a lot of support from that move. If anything, it might've been a detriment to that. And right. And he also had his biggest competition for like a fan base that did it alongside him. So like, it's not like there was any differential stuff between him or Danielle doing it.
Right. And even if it was a boneheaded move for both of them, at least we can say Jason probably did it for, even if it was bad, he did it for the fans. Like, he did it as a calculated move from like wanting fan votes, Whereas I don't think Danielle was thinking that. I think she was thinking like, I don't like these people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, that actually reminds me of another point that I feel like we haven't really touched on much on the podcast, but like really, really terrible move to take Alex out over Morgan, right? Like they had the option and Morgan was eligible for a care package and Alex was not. And they decided to take out Alex anyway. And there was really no benefit at all. Like
there were immediate repercussions for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Immediate. And like there was also no reason to take that risk. And like there's been a lot of mistakes and you know they're definitely paying for them.
Especially because they knew like that was a double eviction night. So they knew they would have had another shot at Alex, possibly within an hour.
I think they're just not thinking ahead. I think that that's something that the Ball Smashers had or have is that they can think ahead and they can usually see like two or three steps ahead and like why they need to get so-and-so out because of the care package or what have you. And the Misfits don't always do that. They kind of just feel like in the moment and they're just like, I don't like this person. I want to get this person out. Like, you know, and they think emotionally rather than mentally.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's take some viewer questions, some listener questions. The first one is from, oh man,
good luck saying this one.
Kujuak. Yeah, I'm good at this. What paths do you see for Morgan to win at the end? I have a hard time seeing her winning if she doesn't cut Shelby. What do you think of this, John?
I really, really, really like this question. I was actually talking with my girlfriend about this the other day as we were driving to dinner. But I think that like if we get to a Final Four situation right before the Final Three, I think it behooves any player to cut their ally over their friend in 100% of the situations. And I think Morgan's a really good example of this because I think if Morgan goes to the end with Shelby, Shelby's more popular and will probably get more votes. But even, you know, they can't know that in the house necessarily. But what they can know is that if there are Ball Smashers fans, they're going to split that vote. And then there's going to be the one jump like late night crew who's going to get all those votes. And the same goes the other way. You know, if you have Justin and let's say Chrissy in the end, well, let's not say Chrissy. If you have Justin and Jason in the end and then Shelby, I think there's going to be some contingency of late night crew fans who are going to split their votes between Justin and Jason. And then I think Shelby possibly could win in that scenario.
Yeah. So I think, sorry, go ahead.
No, that's the end of my statement. I think that he's right or she's right that cutting Shelby is Morgan's only real chance.
Yeah, I think that Jason was noticing that earlier and I think he was realizing that. And when he was in discussions and saying that, like, you know, he wants to be in the end with Chrissy and Morgan. And I think that that's super smart of him because then he doesn't have to worry about splitting votes with people. Yeah. And so definitely they need to, unfortunately, in this situation where there's not a jury, you know, cut their allies so that way they don't split the votes.
Yeah, it's a hard situation to look at from inside the house because you don't have any real idea of what the fan base is thinking, especially with somebody like Justin, who now probably won't win in the end if he gets there, depending on who he's with. They still think of him as a super popular guy because of the pizza video and he's never been nominated and he's going to get this last care package, even though it is defaulted to him. If you're Shelby or if you're Morgan, you're looking at the other side and you're saying, maybe I can take Chrissy. But even then, it seems like America somehow likes Chrissy and apparently hates both of you. So I imagine what she's thinking is, I mean, I might as well take my chances with the person I like, you know?
Yeah, Shelby probably has she probably thinks that she's very, very disliked. Because she has constantly been thwarted. Like, you know, the one week she got HOH, she had to share it with Jason and Alex went home. So, and, you know, obviously there are people who literally can't stand Shelby, but she does also have a pretty strong fan base. And I think she probably has no idea that there are a lot of people who like her a whole lot, myself included.
Yeah. Even today she was saying, well, America hates me.
Yep.
Right.
So, I mean she definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, her HOH was completely thwarted the first time, and then it was attempted to be thwarted this time. And actually, I was thinking about this. Is this the first time all season long that America's nomination will be vetoed?
Yes.
Someone crazy. Earlier on in the house was talking about it because Danielle had made a comment that she wanted to be the first person to veto America's Nom or something. Now she won't get a chance to.
Yeah, this is like the final America's nomination.
The last one.
Finally able to thwart it for the first time.
Right.
I mean, I wish that there was more of this along the way. I feel like we would have had a little bit more of an entertaining strategic game if people were more capable of doing this along the way. But
yeah, especially because America always votes for their nom. So
yeah, exactly.
America would have had to choose someone else.
Yeah.
Well, someone, I don't remember where I heard this, if it was on a podcast or on Reddit or Twitter, but like someone's pointed out that if Scott had saved Cornbread way back at day one, this entire game would have been completely different because it would have set a precedent for, you know, vetoing America's Nom, and it would have given the other side of the house much bigger numbers earlier on. And they would have probably steamrolled the late night crew pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, that was I called it the biggest mistake of the game, because essentially it gave all the power to America. And, you know, had he not done that, you know, Alex would have won that next HOH and her HOH would not have been thwarted. I imagine Danielle would already have been gone home, and they would have targeted probably somebody like Jason or something. And we would have seen a much different game,
which is why Scott's our virgin king, because he threw himself on the sword.
For us.
For us. For America.
For America.
He will always be our version.
Well, yeah, I imagine that many of the Misfit fans would not enjoy the different game that would have happened had Scott done that.
Right.
And they seem to be the majority. So, you know, maybe it turned out for the best. Next question is from Bethany. Thank you for that name. Vanessa got hate for her tears on BB17. Shelby cries a lot, but no one mentions this. Why? Do we expect more from Vanessa? Melissa, what do you think?
I don't think we expected more from Vanessa. I think that Vanessa just cried at the drop of a hat, pretty much. It was like, even if things, it was just any reason she might cry. And she would use it, you know, all the time, just when she was talking with people and just, you know, all that. And I think that Shelby, she's had a lot of reason to cry. And most of the time, she's not crying. I think that she only cries when things are just like totally gone the opposite of her way. I mean, she's had a lot to cry about. I've probably cried too. I mean, just this morning she was using crying for strategy, because when Justin came in, she started, like, you know, her eyes welled up and she started crying, and Justin was like comforting her after Morgan got America's nominee. And then Justin left, and her and Morgan were like, yeah, these are fake. And they were like, good work, good work. Which, like, kind of was like, okay. But I mean, I don't know. To be fair, I do see people hating on Shelby for crying. So yeah, I don't know. I don't think that she's immune.
Yeah. I think that, you know, with Vanessa, she's one of the all time criers, right? Like, she cried a lot and very violently and very aggressively.
It was aggressive.
Someone out there,
crying.
Get out there and make a chart. I'm sure we could quantify this somehow.
Yeah. Like,
she would just cry.
I'm picturing Vanessa with tears streaming down her face saying things like, are you his gay lover or something? You know what I mean? Like, that's Vanessa. And
that's my mental picture of Vanessa. Like, when I just think of Vanessa, I think of her crying.
Exactly.
And Shelby also cries to herself and to Morgan and to her allies. She doesn't necessarily go up to someone crying, starting a fight. She kind of goes up. She might go up to someone, but not when she's like got tears streaming down her face. Like, she can hold it together pretty well.
Yeah.
There's also the fact that, like, we perceive, and by, again, I'm using the royal we, I'm not speaking for all of America, but like, we perceive Vanessa to be like this gamer, this game bot, this strategist. And I think that, like, our archetype for that in the Big Brother house is someone who's like calm, cool, and collected. And that's not necessarily true. I'm not saying that a strategist can't cry, but I think that, like, that kind of clashes with what we think of when we think of a strategist. And so when Vanessa did it, it was like, come on, what are you doing? Whereas, like, what do we think of Shelby? Like, she's funny, she's smart, whatever, but I wouldn't say that she's like a master strategist. I wouldn't put her up with Vanessa.
Whoa.
Plus, we've got Shelby crying, like, about funny things. Like, there's no boys, there's no hot guys, there's no dogs here.
No Harry Potter.
I wanted to ask this.
No Harry Potter.
All right, Melissa. Dogs, Harry Potter, or hot boys? Go.
Hot boys.
Okay, Taryn?
Oh, hot boys. Come on.
Okay, well, I'm glad you guys started this so I can also say hot boys and not seem like a weird person.
Good. Yeah,
we're all agreed.
The royal
guys.
Yeah. Next question is from Edward Morris. Is there any reason to believe that Chrissy / Justin will still vote out Danielle over Morgan? I mean, I imagine Morgan will be off the block, but maybe the question is, had Morgan stayed on the block, do you think that she would have been voted out, or would they still have stuck with eliminating Danielle? What do you think, John?
Yeah, so I would say that there's an almost 100% certainty that she will be coming down now. But if she stayed up, I think it would be closer to 60 or 70%. You know, we have the benefit of the live feeds and we can see Justin 24/7. And it does seem like he was being sincere. You know, he didn't go back and spill those secrets to Jason or anything like that. You know what I mean? So there's really been no indication that he was going to turn on the new Jambalaya alliance. But at the same time, I think if Morgan was sitting up there for the next, you know, day and a half, 2 days, I think that there might be a little more temptation to come back to the late night crew. So I think that I still think that Morgan would have stayed if she was still on the block. But I think that that goes from like 100% like it is now down to maybe 60 or 70.
I do feel like, though, while Justin didn't reveal the name Jambalaya Gang, he basically told Jason, like, everything that they were doing, kind of. Like, he told them about the fact that they want to get Danielle out and they want to take Jason out and do a final four. Like, he basically kind of revealed it all. And so I think that even though he didn't say the name that he had come up with, I think he would have been ready to go back to Jason if somehow, like, Jason and Danielle had talked to him and Chrissy together and Danielle had, like, apologized and been like, look, like, I'm very sorry. It's just been a very stressful week, or whatever she wants to say, just to get Justin back on the side. Because I know that Chrissy would want Morgan out over, you know, Danielle or Justin. That's just, right. I mean, Jason, that's just who she is. So I think that there would have been a huge chance that Morgan would be gone this week if Shelby didn't win it.
I mean, I could see it that way, too. I mean, Justin's always, you know, it's whatever, baby. Like, you know, I could see him, he just floating the whatever he likes. How terrible would it have been for the Ball Smashers? I mean, even if you're not a fan of them, to have had like, how many, like 10 alliances proposed and then just lied about, like, in a row like that. I think that would have been, it would just been so terrible.
I wouldn't trust anybody.
Yeah, well, I think that's what happens when you know, you're playing a game where there are both sides of the house are on the block in the same week, every single week, basically.
That's true.
So, you know, you can, like, the reason that deals go through is because they need each other for safety. And when you have two choices from two different sides on the block, you don't need anybody for safety. You can just vote out the other side, like, every time.
America's NOM has made it so that these two sides can exist this entire season.
And never have to work together until now, maybe.
Until now, maybe. I think that's...
Well, not even necessarily, because we're going to have now, if Morgan comes down, we're going to have Jason against Danielle, and then Danielle's going to go, and it's possible, like, Jason or Justin and Chrissy could theoretically go up to Jason and be like, hey, man, we had no choice. Like, we were feeling out our options, but, like, you know, we still like you more than them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that leads us into our next question, actually, from John Densford. Assuming Morgan doesn't win the final five HOH, is there any scenario where one of the girls does not go home? What do you think, Melissa?
Assuming Morgan does not win the final five HOH?
Mm-hmm. So I
think it's possible.
Yeah.
I think it's possible. I mean, I think there's a possibility that Jason could go home. I think that it just changes so quickly, though. It's hard to say, you know? I just think that, like, there's always a possibility in this game. You never know what's going to happen. So, I mean, it's hard to say either way.
So let's work through the scenario. So, like, let's say, it probably can't be Justin that wins, but let's say Chrissy wins the HOH. And we're assuming she's probably going to put up Morgan and Shelby, the target being Shelby. Then maybe Shelby wins the veto and takes herself down, and Chrissy has to put up Jason. And then the vote will come down to Justin will be voting and Shelby will be voting. Do we think that maybe Justin votes out Jason over Morgan?
I think he could. I think it's a total possibility that he could do that. And I think it just honestly depends on, you know, what his fortune cookie says. Right. So you don't really know.
Tinfoil clumps. It all comes down to the tinfoil clumps.
Seriously. It's just, you know, you never know.
Shelby puts on a funny hat. It's all over.
Yeah. Shelby better not put on any offensive headwear.
Right. Got to stay away from the hats. That's another rule for you potential Big Brother players.
Yeah. No hats.
I would say that I agree that it's very, very unlikely, but there is always a chance. I could hope that at some point Justin or Jason, depending on how the cards fall, you know, wakes up to the point like, I got to get rid of this other person, because I do think still, after all this, that Justin and Jason are each other's biggest threats at the end, especially now that it looks like Danielle's going.
Mm-hmm. Next question is from BB Snooze. Any chance Justin will recognize Jason as a threat and cut him, or will he play the friendship game to the end? This is kind of what we were just talking about.
Right. Yeah. It goes to a similar place.
Yeah. I do think there's a big chance, even if Justin doesn't go for it next week, that he probably goes for it the week after. I don't know. I mean, we just saw Justin talking about wanting to, he was like, I don't even care anymore. I don't care. he doesn't trust Jason anymore. He doesn't care who he gets to the end with. I think Justin feels like he can win against anybody, and it doesn't matter who he's there with, and he's willing to cut anybody that gets in his way, essentially. Do you agree?
Yeah, he did say earlier today that, like, Chrissy was like, were you nervous that you might be America's Nom or whatever? And he's like, I knew I wasn't going to be America's Nom. So he clearly thinks that he's, like, going to win either way. I think he thinks that he doesn't really have any competition. So I think that, and especially with his lack of trust with Jason, I think that there's a huge chance that, you know, Justin's just going to just, he said, like, he's like, I'm cutthroat in this game. So I think that he might actually start being cutthroat, and he might start to cut people who used to be his allies. So. Yeah,
you know, like, again, like, people keep saying Justin hasn't done anything all game until this week. And I really don't think that's true. I think that I noticed throughout the season, there were many moments where Justin was acting very cutthroat, and he was very willing to turn on people. He was going back and forth between the two sides. He was making deals with Alex. He was excited about, like, betraying people and cutting them. He's the person that didn't choose Morgan to play in the veto, he didn't choose Alex to play against in that double veto. And, yeah, right. You know, like, he has always had this in him where he is not this, like, super loyal person. He's in it to win it. And he's been willing to play the game the whole time. He just hasn't really had to. And I don't think that he's necessarily, like, uber capable of it, but I do think that there has been a lot of signs along the way that he is this player that is here to win. And it doesn't surprise me at all that this heel turn that he's done in this week.
I think it's worth mentioning like, the fact that he hasn't needed to play the game. You know what I mean? Like, if, you know, there's the saying, if it's not broken, don't fix it. You know what I mean? Like, all indications in the house for him is that he's doing everything right. You know what I mean? He's not been America's Nom. He was only the have not, like, the one time. You know, everyone seems to still like him in the house, for better or worse. I know that the ball smashers kind of go in and out on him, but, like, you know, he's not gotten any situations where he's felt like he's doing something wrong or that he needs to make up for it. And I also think that he's crafted this persona of, you know, he doesn't care. And so I think that, you know what I mean? Like, I think that we could potentially see, like, a Tim Dormer situation where if he gets voted out, he could just be like, oh, yeah, well, I wanted to help my friends get to the end, but I didn't want the win.
You're triggering me with this Tim Dormer talk.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. Dormer. Sorry. It's still a fresh wound, but, you know, or, like, let's say Paul, you know, we could get a Paul situation. Like, Paul didn't win. And then, you know, Rob was in the backyard and interviewing Paul, and Paul was just like, I never cared. Like, every question Rob asked was always, like, his answer was, well, I never cared. And it was so clear that Paul cared. And I think that we could see that from Justin, where if he does get kind of screwed over, that he could play that never cared card. But I think you're right. I think he does care. And I think now that he kind of has to play, that we could see some moves maybe.
Yeah. And let me tell you, when I went back to count those attempts in the perfect shot competition, I heard lots of never careds again.
That's like his new catchphrase.
Yeah. It was never cared, pissed, like, fool. Fool has five tokens.
Oh my God. It's like,
I
too
mean,
much.
I love Paul, but yeah.
It's yeah, so funny. I love like, Paul, but it's just like he picks something that he thinks we like and he sticks to it.
Right? I feel like America was like in BB18, like kind of like this with Paul. They kind of flat. And then he started the catchphrases and it was like, no, we don't like him. And it went down. And then like there was this weird moment where we were like, yeah, I love all these catchphrases. I know for a fact that me and my Big Brother friends started saying pissed and friendship and stuff. But we might be hitting like peak Paul here. Like I'm getting like, I think five catchphrases might be too many. And I might be starting to go back down on Paul.
Maybe yeah. we should release a second poll. After they vote on you, they can vote on which catchphrase of Paul's needs to go by the wayside.
I feel like that happens a lot with Big Brother characters too. Like, I mean, with Zach Rance, it was like, oh, like, you know, we hate him. But then he started doing all that, you know, the getting mad at people or like doing fake, like, you know, fights or the Fruit Loop Dingus stuff. And it was like, okay, we don't really like that so much. And then then it was like you'd see genuine Zach and you'd be like, oh my God, I love this guy. He's funny. He's cool. And then he kept doing that stuff. And it was like, okay, we get it. Like, we don't need that anymore. So
it's another way that Big Brother reflects real life. I mean, I have relationships with people that are like that, where, you know, you have a first impression that may not be the best, but then they become your best friend. But then, you know, you spend a lot of time with them and then you be like, oh my gosh. And then maybe you spend less time with them. And then you're like, those were great people, you know?
I feel like that's been a theme of this podcast is just like wearing people out. So hopefully we're not doing that to you, the listener.
Yeah.
Next question is from Edward Morris. Does Chrissy not being America's nominee help or hurt her game? What do you think, Melissa?
I think it could go either way because I think that it hurts her game because I think that people might see like, oh, maybe America really likes Chrissy. I mean, she got like, you know, the first care package and she's, you know, she's never been nominated. And like, they might think like America will vote for her for some reason or another. America loves Chrissy. So we can't take her to the end. Or it could be, you know, I mean, it could help her because it's like, we don't want to get her out. We don't want America to hate us. So it really could go either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that there's at this point, I would say on paper that her never being nominated should hurt her because they should think that America loves her. But I haven't heard that. I mean, I don't know if you have Melissa or you have Taryn, but I have not heard anyone say we've got to get Chrissy out. America loves her so much. You know what I mean? The only person in the house that I've ever heard talking about how much America loves Chrissy is Chrissy.
That's
so
very accurate.
Should it hurt her game? Yes, but it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, it's a weird situation because they all feel like she's liked by America, but nobody thinks she's actually going to win the game.
Yeah. Everyone thinks she's like the perfect person to bring along to the finale.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's because they live with her. And again, I'm not trying to hammer so much on Chrissy, but like I think living with her, you know, you get a feeling for what she's like and like that clouds your judgment. It's easy for us to sit here in our own comfortable houses and talk about who we would take to the end. But, you know, it's difficult depending on who you live with. And, you know, like there's just so many factors.
All right. So that's it for listener questions, but I do have three quick pop quiz questions. I did not warn you guys about these.
Okay.
I want to let the listeners learn just a little bit more about you before they vote. This is a very important vote. You know, between John, Melissa, they're both so amazing. I don't understand how you guys are going to decide, but I want to know, are you a fan? Do you think what's more strategically sound? Do you win comps or do you throw comps? Melissa, what do you think?
Strategically sound for me would be win comps. I think that early in the game, when you win comps, people want to work with you because they want to have people, you know, you're in power and they want that. You have something to offer them. And I think that that gives people the reason to want to work with you in the beginning. And then near the end, it saves your life. Like Shelby and Morgan, they wouldn't still be there if it wasn't for the comp wins. So I think that I'm all for winning comps and not throwing them.
What about you, John?
In order to not be Fancy Fencerton, I will just say throw comps. I'm a fan of always be throwing. But to be a little bit of a Fancy Fencerton, I think it really depends on the situation. You know what I mean? I think ideally you always want to be throwing, but you do need to be cognizant of where you sit and how in danger you are. And I think Steve Moses kind of embodies this in terms of our recent winners. He was always pretty good at knowing whether he needed a competition or not. And he only won a few, but you know, he ended up winning key competitions that he needed to win. And I think that's probably the optimal strategy. But if it's either A or B, I think throwing is always better, especially in traditional Big Brother. You don't want to be seen as a threat.
Well, that's an interesting point, because do you guys feel like it's more important or less important to win competitions in Big Brother OTT?
I think you never, if this is going to be what Big Brother OTT is for Big Brother OTT 3 and 2 and all the other ones, I would say never, ever win HOH. Yes, win veto, especially if, you know, you're on the block. Never win HOH. Big Brother Over the Top should be Big Brother, never HOH.
Yeah, because apparently being HOH doesn't help you, and instead it gets your allies evicted. So
this could be the first, I'm sorry, Scott was the first week, but this could be the second time, only the second time this season, where the HOH actually gets like their target out and not someone from their own side.
Yeah, by far the majority of competition of HOH reigns have been overruled by America. So it's a tricky situation. My next pop quiz question: what is your favorite twist in the history of Big Brother? John, what do you think?
You got to go with Project DNA. Big Brother 5 may not be my favorite season, but those twists were great. Number one is obviously we have Cowboy and Nokomis are siblings. And no one expected that, including them. They didn't even know they were siblings. I think that's like, honestly, still that clip where they both figure it out is still one of the best Big Brother clips ever. Look it up on YouTube. And that introduced the other sibling twist with Natalie and Adria were the twins. They were the first twins. They were the first iteration of what, you know, became Liz and Julia. And I mean, God, look at every single season since what, Big Brother 13 or something. Yeah. Has had some sort of a siblings twist, whether it is two siblings in the house together or a sibling of a former player or a sibling of a celebrity, if you want to go with Ariana Grande, or like a sibling of a Survivor player. So I think that twist is my favorite in terms of how over the top it was, but also it changed the game forever. We've kind of had siblings ever since then.
Yeah. Melissa, what do you think?
I do like the twin siblings idea. I don't necessarily like the siblings idea, just like, oh, Frankie Grande, he is, you know, Ariana Grande. I don't like that. I don't like when someone has like outside, you know, influence and outside help and a fan base already built in. But I do like the twins when they got to trade in and out. I think that that's so exciting because you never know when someone might like slip up or mess up or someone might catch them. And I think that seeing people catch the twins was like so exciting in 17. So I think that's one of my favorite twists for sure. And I think that BB Can, when the two brothers, the Pax brothers, came in, I originally was so excited about it because they came in, they didn't talk, they didn't pretend like they knew each other. They pretended like they didn't know each other, you know? And then all of a sudden Narissa comes on the screen. She's like, by the way, these two are brothers. And I was like, no, like I wanted them. I was like, I wanted them to be able to play it off.
Oh, they got screwed. And then they got really, really lucky.
Yeah, they got super lucky. I just think that like it was going to be so exciting that they would, you know, have to like pull what, you know, what Morgan and Alex are doing this season. I was excited to see that for BB Can, but yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that being said, I'm ready for there to be like no, like I think we need a break. We need a breather from siblings of any kind for at least a season or two.
Yeah. Okay, although someone did say that on Jason's next season, if he comes on again, I saw it on Reddit that somebody should there should be two brothers instead, because obviously after this season he's going to be looking for sisters. So all of a sudden you put in two brothers and he's like, nope, there's no siblings here. And then
that's my asterisk for sure. Is the only, if they're ever going to do siblings again, Jason has to be in there so that he
definitely
can
really put Jason in.
Look a fool.
All right. Well, I'm afraid to tell you there was a correct answer to this question, and all answers were wrong. They were incorrect. The correct answer was no twist. My favorite twist is no twist, because all twists suck and you're on Taryn's show.
Oh, great.
What about like Big Brother 6, though, Taryn? I mean, like that twist didn't break the game in any way. Like I really like the Big Brother 6 partners twist was really cool.
Well, yeah, if you want to ruin the joke.
I don't like twists that break the game or that ruin, you know, strategy.
Yeah.
No, yeah, you know, I, whatever, you know, if twists are like cosmetic, essentially, like I'm fine with it, whatever.
Sure.
But
yeah, put them in clicks, put them in teams. The game. Yeah, sure.
No, no teams.
No teams. I prefer, I prefer a twist, but you made a stick.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm fishing right now for compliments, basically.
Okay. Next question, final question. This is really the key one. I think people's votes are hinging on the answer to this question. So at Podcast House in New York, we played Mario Party 2. If you are a member of the LFC and you end up playing Mario Party with us in the next Podcast House, are you willing to make a secret alliance with me so that we can win the game, or rather I win the game again? Melissa.
Yes.
Yeah, duh. Oh, go ahead. Duh. Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Of course. Duh. Done.
I think the answer
that's
is
that's the only way to play.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not, Taryn.
No way.
I would never work with you.
I think that's enough winking.
Yeah, I
think winking. No one's winking.
I think what he did there was he winked enough times that he's able to be like, well, actually, I winked so much that it was actually a double bluff, and I'm actually not going to work with you.
Don't. Yeah, it's all of them.
I know that you've secretly been working with Jordan Parhard, John.
I would be lying if I said that I haven't texted him, but I'm not going to say that we're working together.
You have been secretly working behind my back. Oh, man.
Wow.
All right, Melissa. You and me.
Wow.
Let's do this.
I said in my intro video that I would suck anyone's kneecaps needed to win this.
Clearly,
thing.
You're sucking a lot of kneecaps.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of kneecaps. I mean, I've seen Jordan's kneecaps. I don't know if you want to be sucking them.
I haven't, just to be fair.
Sure you haven't.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. This was so much fun. Can you give me your Twitter handles? John has it up in his lower third.
It's my name. It's at John Krause, JonKrause. I mostly tweet about Big Brother. I do tweet about Survivor and sometimes just goofy stuff. Follow me and I'll be your friend.
And Melissa.
Mine is at It's Melissa, and Melissa has three A's. And I have officially started tweeting.
Oh my.
I saw that.
It's been very small, but I've started.
How's
every journey starts with one step.
I'm hopeful that these tweets are, you know, a step in the right direction. But you know, you never know with Twitter.
How many people have yelled at you so far?
So far, no yelling, mostly encouragement. Oh, so that's good. But please don't start yelling, guys. Please. I don't need that. Please.
You know, if you vote for me, you can yell at me all you want.
Yeah. And if you guys have like final pleas you want to make to the jury before we end this podcast, feel free. You can prepare for them while I go into this next part. But voting will be up to vote between John and Melissa after this podcast, right on the show page. You click on the link, you say, you're either pissed or your friendship or you're right in the middle. You never cared. Make sure you rate them well and fairly. This is going to be a tough race. We're going to lose one of them. We'll never see them again because they will be suffering in the underworld. But it's unfortunate. Yeah.
I didn't read that fine print. Was that in the fine print?
Oh, yeah. That contract is signed.
That's why you need a lawyer.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
Yeah. See, Melissa, she negotiated the contract. She actually doesn't die if she loses.
Well, I was just Jordan made a lot of promises to me, but apparently he's breaking all of them.
That's what happens. You saw, I mean, if you had watched the Mario Party stream, you would have known that Jordan turned his back on me in that bomb challenge. I thought he was on my side, and then he stabbed me in the back. So got to be careful with Jordan.
Wow, ruthless.
Oh my gosh.
Ruthless.
Yeah, Jordan's the reason I lose this.
And tomorrow night, I will be live with Rob. He will be reading the results for Brent and Alex's team. We will see who will be advancing to the semifinal rounds, which will be with Jordan on Sunday night, next Sunday night. That's going to be very interesting. I'm very nervous for both of you, but I know whichever one of you advances, you're going to win the whole thing because you guys are the best. So that'll be awesome. We will learn the results from this podcast for you guys on Friday night. It's by itself because you guys are that special. So do you guys have any final pleas before we end it here?
I'd like to say that I don't want to throw any shade, but I've seen some of the other contestants putting t-shirts on and putting costumes on and things like that. And I don't have any gimmicks here. I am who I've been acting like. And if you like who I am, then you should vote for me because you'll get more of me. I promise that I love these shows and I watch these shows and I love talking about them. And I'm a big user on Reddit and on Twitter, and I want to be your LFC person. So if you are on Reddit or on Twitter and you want your questions or your points of view represented, please vote for me, because I want to be able to bring your concerns to the LFC and Jordan and Rob. And that's it.
Oh, gosh. That's basically a lot of my similar points. So great. Thanks a lot. I'm a huge Redditor, and I'm on the subreddit every single day, all day long. So, yeah. And I feel like I love the idea of bringing more of Reddit to the podcast. And I think that, I just love the show. I love it. And I love watching it. And I've had so much fun doing this. And it's very nerve-wracking, and I'm still getting used to it, but I've loved it. And I've had so much fun, and the podcasts just fly by. So, you know, I would just love the chance to keep doing this and to keep talking about something that I love so much.
I just really want to get in a room with Brent and smack talk a little bit. Please let me get to a point where I can talk to Brent. Please.
Oh, I know Melissa in her audition video said that when she listens to the Happy Hours, she often finds herself yelling at us, trying to get in on the argument.
It's like actually true and also horrible. Yeah. I'm sitting there watching the podcast by myself in my room, and I'll just be like, oh no, that's not what's happening, or whatever I have to say. And I'm just like, I hope no one heard that, because I'm here alone.
I hope you realize that when I heard that, and obviously hearing from John as well, I'm obviously imagining that it's only when Brent's talking that anybody feels that way. It's clearly just how it works.
Right. Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
Karen is never wrong.
There you go. Where's the ding? Ding.
Ding. That's right.
All right. Seriously, guys, I've been so lucky to have the two of you, and Jen. She was so great too. I had such a great team, and it's been so fun talking with you guys. I don't want it to end, because I've had a lot of fun. I feel like I'm cheating on Brent and Alex a little bit, but it's exciting. It's an affair, and it's fresh and exciting, and I just want to keep talking to you guys. You've really made this such a joy for me. And if one of you doesn't end up winning this thing, I will be examining the rule book very thoroughly to make sure that there is no funny business, because I just can't imagine that scenario playing out. So,
Please count the votes at least twice.
Yes.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone. I didn't ask for a hashtag, but I forgot one last time. So let's say hashtag Team Robot. That's what I like to call my team, Team Robot. People are saying the Bot Squad. That's a pretty good one too. So whichever one you like better,
it.
The Bot Squad. Yeah,
Bot Squad.
Yeah. Well, it sounds a little weird if you say it that fast, but
well, you don't say it like that.
Yeah. But yes, thank you so much for listening. I really hope you like these guys. Please vote in the polls, and we will be talking to you next time. Bye.